Welcome to Why Fish Radio. Why Fish is brought to you by Today's Tackle, Cats on the Red, and Trophy Cat Adventures. Now, here they are, Brad and Brad.
Hello and welcome to Why Fish Radio. Bet you haven't heard that intro in a while. Brad, how you doing this fine, cold, windy, rainy, probably snowy by now week?
Well, I was just sitting here thinking how nice it is to be inside right now. I know earlier in the week we had talked a little bit about maybe fishing tonight, and once the weather forecast arrived, that option wasn't looking very good. And now that the weather has played out as forecast, plan B, which was steaks and fried potatoes and a couple of cold ones, is definitely that was the way to go, no doubt.
We win on that one. So, well, I guess I let the cat out of the bag on that one. What was yesterday about? 60 degrees, sun shining, little bit of wind. Great day for me to do my yard work. And right now, well, as of about an hour ago, it was about a 30-mile-an-hour wind and 40 degrees and raining and probably be snow by morning. So
yeah, it's definitely in the forecast. Things are changing. But, you know, I mean, here we are. We're spiraling rapidly toward mid-October, and I mean, it's to be expected this time of year. Don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes. And, I think that's the beauty of it. I like the changing of the seasons, kind of the uncertainty of it. And, you know, this past weekend was a classic example. Saturday we had highs that I believe were pushing 80 degrees. I was actually out in a boat, and out of the wind, it was hot. I was sitting there thinking, man, this is warm. And by Saturday evening, Sunday, all of a sudden, that temperature dropped, the wind came up, and all of a sudden, the furnace was kicking in. So, I mean, it changed that fast, and now we're talking about snow. So, I don't know. You know, it's harsh on one hand, but at the same time, it's the beauty of the Northland.
What a wonderful segue to say, man, do I hope it clears off by Saturday.
Well, the good news in all of that is the forecast right now are calling for that. You know, get the nasty weather out of the way in the middle of the week. Clear up for the weekend, because we both got some things cooking. And I'll have to say, though, I think I'm a little bit more envious of your plan than mine. You've got a walleye trip planned. I have to go pheasant hunting.
Yeah, well, how do we put this politely? We'll call this payback for your trip up north for the last minute cats. How's
well, it really won't be payback. I mean, as I recall, when we called you out in the field, you were out doing yard work. I mean, I am pheasant hunting. It's not like it's work or anything.
True enough. But yeah, he got to go for the last cats, and it looks like I'm going to get to go for at least before the intermissions for some of the last greenback walleyes up at Lockport. And spur-of-the-moment trip, let's see, look at the clock. I've known about this trip for about 24 hours at this point, and you know, you've been talking to me here for about an hour and a half, and I'm just ecstatic. I could leave right now, and I'd be happy as a lark.
Yeah, like I say, I wish I was going along on this one, but I know we had talked on the phone yesterday morning, and you were kind of hemming and hawing a little bit and trying to figure out, well, you know, maybe I should do this. Maybe I should go to Devil's Lake. Maybe I should get my boat ready for winter. And I'm like, come on. You've got an opportunity to go here. You got a window of opportunity that's not going to be open very long. It's not even an issue. It's a no-brainer what you should do. So, you know, I'm proud of you that you came to your senses and saw the light.
Yeah, it's funny how things change when the wife says, you need to catch a greenback.
Yeah, so there the whole thing comes out right there. That's the whole issue. But again, you know, like I say, when the opportunity knocks, go. And I think you're going to be hitting it just about right. I mean, there are some very large fish being caught up there right now. I heard stories from Stu up at Cats on the Red of a gentleman from right here in our own town of Grand Forks, who spent a few days up there late last week, I guess maybe through the weekend, and had a couple of walleyes that were in excess of 30 inches. One, I think, was about a 30.5-incher, and apparently tipped the scales at 14 pounds. Can you imagine a 30-inch walleye weighing 14 pounds? I mean, that thing is just an absolute toad, for lack of a better word.
Well, to be realistic, if I can break the 10-pound mark, I'm going to be happy as a lark. But 14, well, I'm not going to make that a goal, but call that one an added bonus, because, I mean, if you're at a top 15 on a walleye, I think it would probably be the biggest walleye you ever catch in your life. That's my hunch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's an amazing thing. And, you know, the great thing about that Red River fishery is there are not very many places, especially for us that are within, you know, I mean, we're talking about a little over a 3-hour drive, and that's accessible. I mean, not everyone is that lucky, but for us, this is something that's, you know, relatively close by. It's relatively easy to do. And, you know, to know that every time you set that hook, every time you get a bite, you have a potential of catching a, you know, talk about catfish, you have a potential to catch a 30-pound or better fish. In the case of walleyes, you're talking, you know, a 10, 12, 14-pound walleye. That's not an unusual occurrence up there. I mean, that's not to say that it's going to happen every time, but there's certainly a number of them caught every year. You know, I've always been a little bit intrigued by the color of those fish as well. You know, you probably heard us talk here several times over the, you know, the tenure of Y Fish Radio about greenbacks. And, you know, that's really what those fish are. They have the most unique coloration of any walleyes I've ever seen. They're striking, absolutely gorgeous fish. And, you know, if you could put 14 pounds on top of all that green, I think that'd be a pretty good thing.
Well, I guess I have something to shoot for. From what I hear, it's good. From what I hear, they're full too, but, you know, definitely worth a telephone call to Stuart Cats on the Red. That's as convenient a place to stay as I know of up there. So catsontheRed.net, and, you know, give them the phone number.
That'd be area code 204-757-9876. And, you know, again, Stu's a great source of information. I mean, here's the guy that makes his living on the river. He's out there every day. He talks to people. He's fishing himself. He knows what's going on. And it's, you know, we've been just extremely fortunate to be associated with someone like that. And every time we go up there, it's always just an absolute thrill. It's a great trip. So, you know, get up there and find out for yourself. I guess there's no other way to put it.
And the beauty of Stu being full is he's the first guy to tell you other places to call. If he can't take care of you, he'll give you the names and numbers of the other hotels or wherever in the area that you can stay. So definitely worth the call. But, you know, I'm going to change gears again. You're going on a kind of an adventure as well.
I am, yes. Actually heading out to the west, I don't know if you call it the far southwestern part of North Dakota, but we're definitely moving that direction. Area called Glen Ullin. It's west of Bismarck, I guess kind of between Bismarck and Dickinson. Pheasant country. I'll be out there with a good friend of mine opening weekend. And I like the style of hunting we do. I mean, I've been pheasant hunting in large groups where you have the blockers and the posters at either end of the field. We do it a little bit differently. There's two of us, and he's got a pointer that's a very good dog. And it might take us a little bit longer to get our birds, but I've always preferred hunting in smaller groups, and so we've got that going for us. And again, with decent weather in the cards, Saturday and Sunday are looking pretty promising right now. Sunday, come back, start a week's vacation, and the original plan was to actually head to Manitoba on Monday and fish Pine Falls, which is another on the Winnipeg River and a tributary that flows into Lake Winnipeg, basically the same fish that come up the Red every fall. But I'm not sure what's going on there this year. There's a pretty good walleye run going on in the Red up at Selkirk, good fishing reports. Not the case this year up at Pine Falls. They're struggling, and, you know, it's hard to put your finger on why, but I guess I kind of decided that, you know, if I'm going to make that drive up there, I want to do it when conditions are right. I have the luxury of making that choice, so I pulled the plug on that one. I'll be heading up to the trailer for a week, spending a little bit of time fishing, probably, you know, maybe hit the Rainy River for a day, a certain undisclosed body of water maybe once or twice, and some grouse hunting at the same time. You know, kick back with some friends and enjoy a week off. So, you know, time off in October is a precious commodity, and I'm certainly looking forward to that.
And if all happens right, the next weekend I'll be going on Saturday to Def Leppard and Journey. I'm sure that just thrills you.
I'm jealous beyond belief.
As I was saying. But if all goes well, Sunday morning I'll be up and on the road once again, and I'll be joining up with you for a little action.
Exactly, yeah, and that'll be kind of a wrap-up to my week. But other big news, I hear you got yourself a power toboggan.
I did. For the first time since I was in the ninth grade, which is about 17 years ago, I have me a power toboggan. I have a brand new 1997 Polaris.
And for those of you who may not have picked up on it yet, a power toboggan is what we Americans call a snowmobile. I'm not sure where the terminology got started, but I've heard a couple of Manitoba friends on different occasions refer to snowmobiles as power toboggans. Actually, they called them snowcats where I grew up, and that's a foreign word to a lot of people as well. But power toboggan just has kind of a northern ring to it, I guess. I don't know. It you know. I don't know how else to put it. There's just, you know, I mean, it's not just a regular snowmobile anymore. It's a power toboggan. So that's impressive.
So, yeah, I got that. I picked it up. Of course, me being me, I didn't even unload it in my own garage. I took it right over to the shop and having them give it a once over just to make sure everything is good. But I'm really pumped up about it because this is going to open a whole new realm of places I can go and things I can see. And that paired up with the new ice house that we got coming is just going to make for a dandy winter, I think.
Yeah, it really is. And the you know, the challenge facing you now is to make sure you actually use that sled in more places besides Devil's Lake. You got to expand your horizons a little bit here now. That's the challenge I'm issuing you right now.
Hey, I've already got the trip to Winnipeg or Lake Winnipeg on the calendar, and I would anticipate that sled is making that trip.
I would think so. It's you know, I've had my sled now since 1995, and you know, grew up on snowmobiles or power toboggans if you want to go that route. But you know, the sled I have now for ice fishing, it's expanded horizons, you know, far beyond what I even could have imagined. You know, with the portable ice house, everything that hooks up to the back, you're self-contained, you're mobile. I've been able to get to places that you certainly couldn't get to beyond the plowed ice road any other way. So it's you're going to have a lot of fun with it. There's no doubt. And you know, to get a sled with 320 miles or 330 miles on it for the price you did, which was basically a gift, that's an amazing thing. So you know, you're going to have a lot of fun, no doubt.
Well, it's like I said, it's a brand new 1997 sled, and I did come into a great deal, and it came through what I consider some fairly unfortunate circumstances, yet on the other hand, I have nothing but gratitude for the person who hooked me up with this, and I really, really hope he's able to come and fish with us for a few more years just to, so I can repay the favor. So, you know, thanks a lot, and if you're listening to this show, you're going to make a couple of folks very, very happy as far as places we can go and things we can do and just, well, you know, helping out a young guy, I guess, is the best I can put it.
Lake trout are the two words I have to say to you. Lake trout.
Don't start with me. So, you know, we're kind of in that in-between year, I guess. You know, probably a good time to ask the folks, the listeners, for some emails. You know, we're going to be taking a little break from fishing here coming up in, we must be about 2 weeks from deer hunting.
It's coming up awfully fast. Yeah, it's probably more
three
like
weeks.
About 3 weeks, but it'll be here before you know it. We're into fall mode, and, you know, there's the best of both worlds right now if you like to hunt, which in many cases I can take or leave, but at the same time, I do enjoy getting out for certain types of hunting, and fishing, I can never get enough of it. And, you know, looking back over the years, especially, you know, you look at some of the pictures I have on the wall, some of my biggest fish, they've often come in the month of October and even into November in some cases. So, you know, just because it's starting to get a little bit cold, don't put away that fishing rod yet if you're at all serious about this little game we play.
So shoot us an email, brad@whyfishradio.com, if you think we should just take a couple weeks off, or otherwise we might actually be Why Fish Hunting Radio for a couple weeks in there, because I love deer hunting, and, well, you've got a record to keep now that you started one last year with your first ever deer kill, and I know there's been many good meals come from such a harvest, and, you know, so, you know, we're probably going to switch some gears and talk a little hunting here on this fishing show, and if you want us to take a hiatus, shoot us a couple emails. We just might take a couple weeks off, but, you know, we're professionals at talking fishing, so I don't think it'll be too huge of a stretch.
No, I don't think it's going to be too much of a problem. And I've actually hit the shotgun out a couple times already and got my first rough grouse of the season, two of them on Sunday afternoon. So, I mean, I really enjoyed that time out in the woods. Upland game, that's probably what I enjoy the most as far as hunting. And, you know, deer hunting, I'd have to say right now, I would have to take a close second, especially the way we approached it last year. It's, you know, it's a... I don't know if you'd really call it laid back, but it's more of a, you know, it's a smaller scale approach, I guess you'd say. We're out there, you know, kind of traipsing through the field, and it definitely works.
I would hardly call that a laid back approach. Basically, instead of the push and blast them out of there and shoot a guns a-blazing, we kind of did the spot and stock approach. And that's pretty much the first time I've ever had the opportunity to, you know, kind of slowly work your way around, find your deer, let it bed down, and then slowly go in and kind of work your way behind it and follow it a little ways. The deer knows something is wrong, but not really scared, to say the least. And I just had a blast doing that.
And I have to say, it was so much more enjoyable to take one with a rifle than to ram into it with my truck, which I've also done on two or three occasions. You know, that's a day spoiler, but I found that, you know, taking one with a rifle was more like a day maker. So I enjoyed that part of it as well.
You know, the other thing is we're going to get the opportunity to try some stand hunting, which I don't know if you've ever got to do stand hunting, but it'll be a totally new experience for me, stand hunting with rifle. So I'm pretty excited to look at that as well.
Well, especially one where you can actually stay warm in the process as opposed to sitting out in the open and freezing. And that, you know, that's been the part about hunting of any kind that I've never been a big fan of. Even fishing, I guess, for that matter, not a big fan of the cold. You know, that's why I like portable fish houses and, you know, those little extras that'll make you a little warmer and more comfortable out in the field, you know, regardless of what it is you're doing. But I don't know. I think we've covered probably all we need to cover for this week.
I think we got it good. Next week's show is going to be kind of interesting. Hopefully I'll have a cool report from Lockport and some big greenbacks and maybe even a few photos for the site. And, you know, you might even have a few pheasant pictures or dog pictures or such.
Well, we should have something to come out of that little adventure for sure. So I guess for now, we'll sign off. You probably got a couple bills to pay here first.
Oh, yes. eTackleDirect.com. Check them out. I was in there the other day. Lots of good stuff coming up. You know, Catfish Billy's a good friend of mine, so support him whenever you can. And my phone is ringing, so todaystackle.com and trophycatadventures.com. Brad, take it away.
That'll wrap up this week's edition of Why Fish Radio. So until next time, keep your hook in the water, keep your line tight, and most of all, keep it fun.
Thank you for listening to Why Fish Radio. Be sure to tune in next time for another Adventures in Fishing. For more information, log on to whyfishradio.com.